Welcome to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast with me, Maya Fisher-French.
And with me, Mapalo Maku.
Each week, we'll be discussing the stories we're working on and which you can read more about in the City Press.
All right, Maya. So this week, there are two topics that we are discussing in this week's podcast. And the first one, Maya, is on mortgage or your bond, whatever you want to call it. But it is a big one for most people because, you know, it's seen, normally people think that you need to pay it over a couple of years, 30 years or so. But we're going to get into that. And we will also be discussing scams. Scams are so big, Maya. And people think that they are too smart to be scammed, right?
I know.
So those are the two topics we'll be.
Yeah, so
you know, I have been a victim of a scam myself, but we'll get into it.
And let's be honest, yeah, we all fall for them at some point or another. But I thought the, you know, Mapalo, you're talking about the home loan side, and it's, I get so often, I don't know if you get these questions, but I mean, on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, it's like, how come I can pay off my car in 5 years, but I have to, I'm forced to pay my house off over 20 years.
You don't have to.
You can actually take a mortgage for 5 years. You can actually take one for 5 years. You can go to the bank and say, I can pay off my house in 5 years. Of course, you're going to have to prove that you can afford to pay it off in 5 years and those installments.
Yes. Yes.
But there's nothing, there's really nothing to, you know, to stop you doing that.
So there is no rules written in the finance books or in the banking books that you can only pay your mortgage for 15, 20, 30 years only.
No, not at all. And it's just a default. So most people find that it takes them because the mortgage relative to their salaries may be such that they can only afford. So it's almost the opposite. It's almost like the Financial Act allows you to, because it's a growing asset, to finance it over a longer period of time. So it's more because people find property often unaffordable that they extend those loans. And we've reached this point of a default. So even if you do go onto the home loan calculators on the bank's website, it defaults to 20 years. Doesn't mean you have to. And it was just a really great article that we have in City Press this week. It was written by Stealthy Wealth. He's one of the personal finance bloggers, and he also contributes to City Press. And he actually made the point. He said, okay, so what if you want to pay off your house in 15 years? So he said, well, instead of buying, so say you can afford a million rand property. So that's 969,650 rand a month. But instead of doing that, you buy a less expensive house, 10% less, and your mortgage repayment is lower, but you continue to pay the higher amount, the 9,650 rand that you exactly that you could afford, then you actually can pay it off in 15 years. So, I mean, in some ways, it's the same thing as either applying for a 15-year bond and saying, look, I actually only want it for 15 years. Or if you take it for 20 years, because you want to give yourself a little bit of leeway, pay it off as if it was over 15 years.
Yes, yes. So, but for me, when I did read the article, Maya, I think it would be perfect for someone who hasn't you know, who hasn't bought a property yet, because most people have gone for the default or have gone for the higher, you know, they've gone to the highest amount that they can afford. So if someone hasn't bought a property yet and they're thinking of buying a property and they think, oh goodness, I can afford a million, I think this article will be perfect for them, you know, just to sort of shift their thinking. Because I certainly know when we bought our property, we did think about, okay, this is the affordability, but we're always looking to buy a bit lower than our affordability, just in case, you know, you never know what happens.
Well, I think that's it. And you know, often we'd also, you know, certainly when we bought our first property, it was, well, the second property actually, that the market was so expensive and that we kind of had to be at our maximum affordability. But now property prices have come off a lot. So if you're buying now, you should actually look at those opportunities and saying, well, I don't have to stretch this to the absolute maximum that I can possibly afford. I can buy something that I can afford quite comfortably and actually pay in extra every single month. So I think it's really, really important point. And of course, Mapalo, the same thing. We've said this over and over again. If you're already in a 20-year mortgage and you want to pay it off quicker, pay in more money every month. It's that simple.
Extra.
Just pay in extra. You know, you don't have to pay it off over 20 years. And I also got a great question in from someone who said to me, okay, I've actually listened and I've been accelerating my mortgage payments and now I'm actually mortgage free. I'm going to settle my mortgage in 3 months' time. What do I do?
Yes, that's an important question, Maya. What are the technicalities around it? I know you can't just say, okay, well, I closed it off. Give me my title deed right now. What happens?
So I think there's two, you may have to reach a decision here. So if you've just paid off your home loan, you have not necessarily cancelled the mortgage bond over it. By the way, just technically speaking, we all use these terms interchangeably, but the home loan is the loan part and the mortgage bond is the bond over the property. So now you haven't actually cancelled that bond. You just simply have paid it off and you have an access bond. That means that you still have a mortgage over your property. And you can keep that facility for whatever the monthly service fee is, like 57 Rand a month. So for 57 Rand a month, you have access to that access bond. If you want to make borrow money in the future, of course, home loans are really, really inexpensive ways to borrow money. So you've got to decide, do I want to keep that credit line effectively with my mortgage as a, covering that as security, or do I actually want my title deeds back? And if you want your title deeds back, you will then have to give the bank 3 months' notice. So you'll have to say to them in 3 months' time, so I'm going to cancel it, and it's a three-month process. And during that process, there are, of course, there's always legal fees. Have you noticed that? The lawyers make money in a minute. In a way you are.
Why are they charging legal fees for something I own already?
Come on. I know, but you've got to now go to the deeds office. The deeds have to be transferred back from the bank to you. So that is a legal process where you actually get your title deeds back. So you've got to make a decision at that point as to what you want to do. I mean, personally, I think, the cost of re-registering a bond is really expensive. So rather keep that 57 Rand. For 57 Rand a month, you've got access to some really good credit facilities. If, of course, you are responsible. But, you may want to buy an investment property. You may want to buy a car. You may want to do things. Yeah. So I think those are some of the decisions that you need to make at the time. Yeah. But please note, if you want your title deeds back, it's a three-month notice period.
Yeah. But also, Maya, for me, what I found interesting, just reading through the article, is the fact that the title deed belongs to the bank until further notice. So it kind of took me to that conversation we had about, is your house an asset or not? Or is it really just an asset in the books of the bank, But yeah, we won't get
I suppose it's actually a really good point, because of course, if you hold the title deed, I suppose it is your asset. But if the bank holds a title deed, the credit facility could be an asset, So I suppose you've got to look at it how you want to look at it. Yeah. But I mean, we always say when you're doing your retirement planning and all of that, do not include your house as an asset. You have to live somewhere. That's whether you're paying rent or you're living in that house. That is not part of your drawdown capital in retirement. A very bad idea. Yeah. Especially when you come to try and sell it and property prices have plunged and you can't sell it. And that was your entire retirement plan.
Oh, man. Yeah. And a lot of people tie up their retirement based on their property, which, can go south sometimes.
So this week, Mapalo, I wrote an article on how to spot a scam. And at the same time, I wrote an article on the FSCA, the Financial Sector Conduct Authority, raiding the offices of Coinet and Comex Minerals. So just to give context, Coinet, I was getting a lot of feedback from readers saying, have you heard of this investment called Coinet? So I came across it a few months ago, and I obviously sent through to the FSCA for saying, I don't know, what do you guys think? Because when I went onto their website, I was like, whoa, all my red flags went up. So basically it was like buy, for 180,000 Rand, you buy a truck and then the truck gets rented out and you make an income. You know those? And let me tell you, I went to do some research, and about every 5 years, there's a trucking scam. I promise you, one after the other, there are people bust for trucking scams. And it seems to be a scam that just reinvents itself. And it goes out of the public eye long enough for everyone to forget about it. And then someone new comes up with it. Anyway, so these guys, and of course, the warning signs were, hello, these returns are ridiculous. This is not, these returns do not match the risks. And the other, then the next thing is I saw there's something called Comex Minerals. And these Comex Minerals guys were saying, buy coal and then we'll give you a monthly income. And I just couldn't work out, how do you buy coal and then get a monthly income from it? I was like, I don't know how the mechanics of that work. Where does this? And it just didn't make any sense. And of course, it turns out that Comix Minerals, Coin It, same people behind it, their offices have been raided. So we are waiting to hear. Yeah, we're waiting to hear if there's any money to be salvaged, you know, what these people did with the money and all the rest. But for our listeners, let's just highlight your article about, you know, these scams. I cannot keep up with them. I cannot, guys, you send me these emails saying, what do you think of these people? They're always scams. So I, instead of sending me this email, read Mapalo's article. Okay. So Mapalo, just explain, how do you spot a scam?
You know, Maya, you know, even in the article, I talk about the fact that I've also been scammed.
So how did yours happen?
So I was online and I'd been looking for a product for a while. And I, you know, this, we spoke about technology and how it's meant to help us. So I had been searching online. Obviously, this ads pop up now because they've seen that you've been searching for a specific product. So I thought, oh, goodness, it's coming to me. What I'm looking for is coming to me. Clicked on the website. I was like, oh, I want this product, and got hooked on another one. And I bought, put in my stuff in the cart, paid, and said my stuff will be delivered in the next 7 days. Next thing, I go back to the website. The website is non-existent. I don't even know who to call, nothing, you know. So, yeah, that's how I got scammed. And even I say that, you know, it wasn't a large amount, but nonetheless, it was a scam, right? And even with the smartest of people who think, you know what, I'm the smartest person in the room, you are vulnerable to getting scammed.
I must tell you, my sister was nearly scammed by buying a cat online. So it was one of those. It was a breeder. They had this particular cat that she wanted. She had sent pictures of it, the whole thing. And then she went to the bank to do the transfer, and the bank said, this is a scam. And, you know, so exactly that. It's you know, it happens to everybody because people are so convincing.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So what are some of the red flags? For me, if it sounds too good to be true, then it really probably is. And I think everyone hears this all the time, but we really don't put it into context, you know. So in your example, you know, this guy will give you huge amounts of returns, but you don't even know what is the underlying asset. You don't know how, you know, you don't really get to grasp how they make these returns. And another thing, you know, someone was telling me that, you know, I think it was a similar thing with guys saying, no, put in this, I think it was, they wanted her to invest 500,000 and she would get 50,000 every single month for the next, I don't know how long. But I was like, how is that even possible? When she started asking questions, you know, what is this? How do you get the returns? You know, started, you know, she just wanted to find out more information, but they got very aggressive with her. Said, you know what, if you don't want to invest, there are other people who are in the queue to invest as well. So don't waste our time.
Classic, classic sign. They always rush you and they get aggressive very quickly if you ask too many questions. Those are like two big warning signs.
Yes. So that is a classic warning sign. When they get quite aggressive and very dismissive, that, you know what, you don't know what you're doing. Don't ask us too many questions. What's another one, Maya? You know, scams, the thing about scams is they really speak to the times as well, that, you know, the economy is not doing well. People are looking for some sort of quick cash or some sort of to alleviate your problems in a way, you know. So I think people who are even more susceptible to scams, if you've had any major life change, you really need to hold on to your money. So if you've lost your job, hold on to your money. Think about your actions even before you can put your money into what is seemingly a good investment. If you're struggling financially, if you're going through a really tough time financially, it's not a good time to be putting money into things that you really can't explain.
And, you know, the other thing is just checking whether or not they're registered with the authorities. Yeah. Or, you know, this is exactly with Coin It and with Comix Minerals. I mean, they were not regulated, or you know, they had no license to be taking people's money, which means you have zero protection, absolutely zero protection. So I get a lot of the time they say, oh, why didn't the authorities do something? You know what, guys, if you walk on the street and you give R1,000 to some stranger and they walk off with your money, you wouldn't expect the authorities to get involved, right? You would think, well, I gave this. And it's almost that you've got to realize this contract is completely outside of protection because these are not licensed operations. So that's just, to me, another big warning sign is this guy's completely and utterly unregistered, unlicensed. Where do I find them? And they also use social media and Facebook a lot, I tell you. They really, really do. And they get these testimonials of people who get returns from them. So remember, these things are funded so that they can get as many people in as quickly as possible. So in the beginning, they will pay out some of that money. And there will be legitimate testimonials because that's how they build the scam. Just because your friend or someone you know actually got a return 1 month doesn't mean it's legitimate.
And normally, by the time that you hear about it, it's a bit too late.
It's usually too late. Do you know, when that whole Triple M scam was happening, I interviewed a lot of people, and there were guys who actually knew that it was a Ponzi scheme up front, and they were aware of getting in and out early.
Written all over it.
Yeah, they knew, and they got in and out, you see. So there's a lot of guys who try and run ahead of these things, or quite frankly, I think their friends are running it. and they know, so you have to be very careful. But Mapula, I wanted to ask you, what would you think you should have done differently? Because we're talking about the classic kind of, you know, investment scam, you know, give us money more. But in your case, and these I come across a lot, I mean, I actually have a friend who was also taken by one of these, they were buying a container.
Stuff.
So on a website, a cat, you think you're buying a cat. What do you think you could have done differently?
I certainly think, you know, as I do with any other website that I have ever gone to. First of all, normally I don't even buy stuff online as such. So I would buy from your normal stores that you know. So, for example, your Woolies, your major stores that you
take
know
a lot. Exactly. Yeah.
You know, right. So that's the first thing. That was even out of character for me to go onto this website. But if it's a website that I don't know of, and especially for younger people listening, there's a lot of Instagram shops, there's a lot of Facebook shops online that, you know, you look at a dress and you think, wow, no, that's beautiful. You never find it anywhere else. So there's a lot of fake stuff as well. There's a lot of fake accounts. So you put your money, but you never get the delivery, like in my case. So what I would definitely would have done differently, as I always, always do, the only one time that I've ever bought anything online was a wig.
A wig.
We'll talk about that another time. But I literally went onto their website. I went onto, so normally they will tag someone and say, oh, so-and-so is wearing a wig. And normally that's a public figure, someone who doesn't want their reputation to be, you know, messed with. So I'll normally go cross-reference on their side and say, okay, no, that wig or that dress is from actually this shop. So they did get their stuff. But also I will go and look at, you know, the name of the shop and put it on their website or on the internet and see if anything comes up. So if there's people who are saying the service was bad or everything is online. I just didn't do any of those things. I literally just whipped my card out and put my details and bought without doing any of those cross-references.
So I must also tell you, there is actually a protection for you. So if you use your credit card, there's something called, I think it's chargeback. If you pay by credit card and they don't deliver, you actually, your credit card company, not the bank, it's actually a Visa or MasterCard or whatever, actually underwrites that. It's part of the being part of the credit card system. So that is something that perhaps you could have done. The other one is PayPal. PayPal also, you can actually put the money in PayPal and it holds it until the goods are paid and released. So, and I know on Gumtree, there was one, I can't remember the name of it now, but there was a payment facility where, like a trust account that you could actually pay into. And funnily enough, I wanted to purchase something from someone, and I said to them, no, I want you I want to use this trust account thing. And he suddenly disappeared. So I think there are payment mechanisms that actually do protect you. You just need to do a little bit of homework and find out about them. You know, putting cash into someone's bank account is probably the least protection you have.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. You are PayPal, your credit card, you could have some recourse, but otherwise there are sometimes a lot of these guys in our building sort of trust accounts that you can leave the money into whilst while that exchange is happening place. So there you are.
There you are. I mean, it's for me, I think the whole thing is breathe. Don't take any rash decisions. Just, you know, do your research, then only then make payment.
So the bottom line is, it's actually your money. You've worked hard for this money. This money means a lot to you. So at least spend some time finding out who you're giving it to.
Yep. Only 5 minutes, 10 minutes maximum.
Actually, and www.google.co.za is a really, really good starting place. So that's a wrap for today. If our listeners would like to learn more about these or any money-related topics, they can go to the City Press website or to your website,
womanandfinance.co.za,
or my website, mayaonmoney.co.za.
And if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a WhatsApp voice note to 064-554-3959, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Because we want to know what it is that you want to know. You've been listening to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast, featuring the contributors of the City Press personal finance pages.